Dr. Arwady, thank you for your time. I appreciate you being on WGN and sincerely appreciate what you're doing on behalf of the city here. You're highly qualified to be running this, and I, for one, feel lucky that you're in that position. Your infectious disease paths and everything you've done before prepares all of us to battle this moment. So thank you. Thanks for what you're doing. Let me put that out front.
I appreciate you having me on. We like every opportunity to really share what's happening in Chicago and make sure people are taking the advice seriously.
Got to say, what the mayor just mentioned was pretty alarming, that 40,000 hospitalizations expected. She said we're looking at the modeling. She called what's happening in New York catastrophic. Can you give us any sense of what the data shows about what's projected for Chicago?
Certainly, you know, the mayor, the Chicago Department of Public Health, a lot of our partners have been looking at a lot of data, making a lot of projections. That 40,000 number that the mayor used is certainly on some of the models. It really represents particularly scenarios where we do not have good adherence to these stay-at-home policies, but it is certainly within the realm of possibility. We've been working with folks not just here but around the world, really looking at what has happened in other cities using our own data. I think even where we look at more of the bottom end of those projections, we're still looking at a 10,000 kind of number. So regardless, sort of, it's a lot that we're expecting.
Can 10,000, Dr. Arwady, can we handle 10,000? Mm-hmm. What's the available bed space?
Yeah, well, that's why we've been working a lot with all of the hospitals. I think where we think it's not so much beds as much as really the intensive care unit level of care. And so the hospitals are already doing a lot to think about what would that look like to expand. You want to think about, for example, your folks who are regularly used to working with sick patients in the hospital but may not be your regular folks working in the ICU, making sure that they're all well-trained to do more of that ICU-level care, and then think about, you know, pulling some of your other staff who may be more likely to do outpatient or more specialty-type care, make sure that they're trained to handle some of the lower-level patients, thinking about things that you can do structurally in your hospital to have more bed availability where that is safe and appropriate, and then thinking about the equipment that you need, what you need to be safe. But, you know, I was talking, for example, to I've got a friend who's a doctor in New York City right now, and he's working in a hospital where he is not an intensive care unit doctor, but he knows how to take care of patients on ventilators. And he is, he's been helping already work. He's doing rotating in the intensive care unit, making sure his skills are as good as they can be. His hospital already has two patients who are in ventilators in the hallway. Not ideal, but they're being calm. They're training folks up. They're really making sure that they're expanding capacity where they can. Our goal is to make sure that all of our hospitals here have done everything that they can to be ready to handle a surge of patients. You've heard me say we really, you know, we hope for the best, but we do want to be planning for the worst. And so you heard me say some of this work, for example, really looking at McCormick Place, like that is not a scenario we would prefer to be using. But we recognize that if we were to have very large surges of patients, we want to make sure that we have, you know, a safe place to be able to help care for them.
You mentioned in your speech just moments ago also that you have also done disaster preparedness, preparing for a pandemic, just this kind of thing with mobile units and emergency care in a different locations across the city. I suppose you draw from that experience right now. Is that the kind of thing you would be expecting to use based on the data you're looking at right now?
Yeah, well, I think the point is we've actually going all the way back to January. We've been looking at all kinds of options around the city. Like really, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. January, we've had, you know, initially dozens and now really hundreds of people working on space, really thinking about what is needed to be able to decompress the health system. You've heard us make announcements about, you know, really thousands of hotel rooms that we've identified, large spaces that are are available to be able to make sure there's appropriate social distancing in shelters. Lots of work looking at, you know, hospitals that have recently closed. What does that need to look like to build out? And then, yes, looking at some big, large spaces like you would really think about needing to use more in disaster-type scenarios. Now is the time to be really thinking about those and really planning toward those. We have stockpiles of a lot of things, but there are certainly both supplies and then staffing that we frankly are needing to be aggressive about. So you've heard the governor and the mayor and me talking about the fact that we are very interested in identifying volunteers, and they've done work to make sure that people who are licensed in other states would be able to practice in Illinois, or people who had potentially retired or not been in practice and are interested coming back in, thinking about really having students be part of the train. I mean, we're really looking at all models because I don't want to not be thinking about those, and I don't want to say, oh, I wish I'd thought about this 6 weeks ago. So all the hospitals are working on it hard. We're working on it hard at the health department. But really the message of today so strongly was that the thing we need the most, the biggest difference in these models between, say, 10,000 and 40,000. It's got nothing to do with the number of ICU beds. It's got nothing to do with the hospital. It has to do with how much people stay home, how much there are chances for more infection. And so it's that population level change that really ultimately makes the difference in terms of bending that curve.
We heard you, loud and clear there, Dr. Arwady. I want to get to one final question because I know you're busy, but you did say the moves we make right now are crucial to the shape of the trajectory in Chicago.
Yes.
So we heard that loud and clear. I want to ask you about testing. We get so many questions about testing, even first responders who are concerned about getting tested so that they're not putting anybody else at risk. Tell us about the status of that if you can here.
Yeah, so we still do not have the widespread testing that I am hoping will be available soon, that the federal, the president and the federal government keeps talking about. Every day we're seeing more come online, and certainly we prioritize it to the settings where it's most needed, which would be these congregate settings where people live together, healthcare workers, first responders where that's needed. I do want to be clear, though, that we do not, especially right now, there would not be a role for testing people without symptoms. The way that the test works is a swab in the nose, different than a blood test, and you have to have a certain amount of virus for the test to even come up. So the problem is you could be infected with coronavirus, not yet have developed symptoms, have a test, think it's negative, and still have coronavirus. And so we make decisions about things like whether people need to be quarantined or isolated regardless of test results, and that's what we'll continue to do. So we will keep folks updated as more is available. What I'm really anxious to have here, and I hope will be available very shortly, there's been new approvals by the FDA, would be some more rapid tests, right? Tests that are available in hours or even minutes, as opposed to the days that it's taking right now, because that allows us to make more immediate decisions. We're anxious for widespread testing. We're anxious for that technology. It's not a fact of money. It's not that we can't pay for these tests. It's still a fact of not having some of the basic supplies and even swabs available. Progress is being made on that every day at the state level, at the city level, at our hospital level, at our commercial lab level. But that is one of the areas that we do not have as widespread as we're hoping we will. We keep hearing it'll be coming soon. Obviously, we'll be sharing widely as that is more widely available. But if somebody needs a test for a public health reason, we are working to make sure that they get that test.
All right. That sounds good. We appreciate the update from you, and we appreciate what you're doing on behalf of the city right now. I know these are difficult times and difficult decisions being made, but we feel like we're in good hands with you, Dr. Arwady. Thank you. And thanks for being so transparent.
Stay home, save lives.
We heard that loud and clear. Thank you so much. She's the director of the Chicago Department of Health. She has traveled around the world. Her prior background, if you may know, dealing with infectious disease like SARS and Ebola, that is her background. She is uniquely prepared to lead us in these times. She's the city's point person on the coronavirus, and we certainly appreciate her checking in with us here on WGN. We're going to pause for a moment and then more to come.